Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Everton Fan Focus podcast with myself, Mark Finnegan, and Mark Ellis.
Hello.
On this week's show, we're going to be taking a look back at the West Ham game, as you just heard the commentary there, and we're also going to be looking back to the Sunderland defeat nearly a fortnight ago at Goodison Park. So how are we, Mark? You all right?
I'm fine, mate. Yeah, not bad. A little bit better after Sunday's... After the win at West Ham, mate, certainly, you know, if we'd have done this podcast straight after Sunderland, it would have been, you know, a bit more gloomy, wouldn't it? But, you know, it was good to get back to winning ways last weekend.
Tefo, I think the last time we spoke was after the Villa game, which was sandwiched in between. So, obviously, the United game, then the Villa game, it was the highs and lows. And then the Sunderland game was probably a continuation of that disappointment, wasn't it, after the trip to Villa Park?
It was, mate. I just thought, again, you know, we needed to put on a performance there where, you know, we sort of showed a determination to finish the season strongly. And, you know, we did control large parts of the game, but again, there was no real belief there, Mark, that we, you know, I don't know what happens with us. We look against United and then lose belief all of a sudden, but I don't know what goes on. It's the same against Sunderland as it was against Villa, to be honest. We didn't really look to hurt Sunderland that much, did we?
No, and you could tell the likes of Villa and Sunderland have got the wins in the sails, haven't they? They're in a relegation battle. They're both, I think, both secure now in the league, aren't they? I don't think, Sunderland maybe still under threat. But I completely agree. I think the way we dominate, we sort of give up possession against Man United, changed our approach, didn't we? Let them control the game. But we were just absolutely blitzed them on the counter attack, didn't we? And you know, beat them comfortably in the end. Whereas against Sunderland, we, as you said, we controlled the game, but we just couldn't find a way through. And then Sunderland, basically smash and grab, wasn't it? I know they scored just after half time, but deflected goals on the break, and they came away with all 3 points.
You're right. I think it was, to be honest, it sounds stupid, but I think if we'd applied the same tactic against United, the obvious tactic of hitting them on the break, like we did against Sunderland, because Sunderland needed to win that game, really, didn't they? Good, to be honest, it was a game they needed to win. So I thought, as much as it would have looked negative at the time, we could have afforded to play that game against Sunderland on the break, and we'd have probably had the same result. But you know, we're trying to be the home team and play with, you know, a bit of arrogance or trying to put the pressure on, but we just haven't got players who are playing with that confidence at the moment, are we, where we can put teams to the sword. And like you say, it's the same old problem. We can't get teams to get past teams who are well drilled on how to defend against us.
Definitely. And I mean, Everton's record at Goodison Park this year, that we'd been unbeaten up until that Saturday, unbelievably, Mark. And you think, it's staggering, isn't it? The season that we've had, we're all being disappointed. But Sunderland were the first side to beat us at Goodison this year, this calendar year.
And they haven't won away from home since the turn of the year as well. So it's like, you know, there's only going to go one way, but obviously being an Everton fan, it was going to go the other way, wasn't it?
You know,
it looked a complete coupon buster from where I was standing, you know. But like you say, Sunderland, you know, they did this last year, didn't they, where they put on a great run to get away from relegation. They seem to be like the next sort of Wigan, you know, don't they, where they just do it right, apart from last when Wigan went down, obviously. But Sunderland just seem to put together a miraculous sort of form when they need to, don't they? And unfortunately, we were in the middle of that.
That's it. I mean, we failed to score. The first time in 8 games that we'd failed to score. And there was another statistic, first time we conceded in at home in 7 hours of football. Amazing, really, how we have transformed our home form, though, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, to be honest, to be fair, he has got it right, hasn't he, Manners, when we've needed it at home. They've been 1-0s, haven't they? You know, the likes of Burnley at home and stuff like that. They haven't been glamorous wins, but we have got the job done, mainly since Christmas, haven't we? Which, to be fair, we needed to have done. I'd say since Stoke, especially. You know,
yeah, it was sort of like March time when we went on the run, wasn't it? We won 5 out of 6, and we drew with Swansea, and that was sort of the winning run that was in between, wasn't it? But it was disappointing. Yeah. I mean, as you said, we had a lot of possession. There was some chances. It wasn't very a notable game. I don't want to dwell on it too much, to be honest, Mark. Obviously, there was chances. Lukaku had a few chances. Jagielka came close with a header that was deflected.
Yeah.
McCarthy at the post in the second half. But it was Danny Graham who gave Sunderland the lead. And as you said, Sunderland haven't won away from home since the turn of the year. And Danny Graham hasn't scored since Christmas. But if he's going to score against anyone, it's going to be us, isn't it?
Not half, mate. I mean, you know, how many strikers have we helped out this season who've been on ridiculous barren spells? I can name about Aluko, Falcao, I can name a few of the Soldado, I think, scored against us when he hadn't scored for decades.
He did.
You know, it just seems to be whoever's the player who's the least likely to score will always score against us. It's been a, I don't know, you know. But the goal, you know, it was a bit of a sucker punch again, wasn't it? Because it did look like we were getting on top at the start of the second half. And it just, you know, like, it seems to have been a common theme where we think we're getting somewhere on the day and then we get hit by, you know, a ridiculous goal.
Too right. I mean, Defoe sealed the win later on, but I think most Evertonians thought on that particular Saturday we could have played all day and not scored ourselves.
Yeah.
So Defoe just basically put the icing on the cake for them. But I think that, have you got anything else to say on that match, Mark? Because I'm happy to just write it off.
No, I think Defoe could have made it 3-0 actually towards the end, couldn't he? But I think that second goal was probably the most deflected goal I've ever seen go in. I think it was about 98 deflections.
Well, we were hung over that day, of course, after that Everton night, and I somehow dragged myself to that game and had chips and curry in a can on the way in. When part of me thought I should have just had the chips and curry and gone back home and got back in bed, but
it was right. The the Friday night was much better than Saturday afternoon, wasn't it? You know,
it certainly was.
Everton always seem to ruin a good weekend, don't they, if you've got plans.
Yeah. We've got, well, on to the West Ham game. Obviously, we've just heard the highlights, Denmark, and it was fantastic to celebrate a late winner with Lukaku coming back to haunt West Ham again. Much better from Everton, wasn't it?
It was, mate. It was much more like our old selves. I mean, to be fair, the first half was a bit of a non-event, bit of an end-of-season game, wasn't it? But we what I liked about us, there was, from last season, we created a lot of chances in that game, didn't we? You know, we also like capable of hurting West Ham, and I know we enjoy playing West Ham at Upton Park, and it shows. I know, like, we got beaten in the cup there and all that, but by and large, Upton Park brings out the best in the fans and the team, doesn't it? The fans absolutely love it. I think it's like the favourite away ground for away fans, I reckon. For
loads of our fans class it as the one of the best aways, and obviously they say they'll miss it when West Ham eventually move ground. So, I mean, we've got some sort of... we must be like their bogey team, because I think it was earlier in the season, wasn't it, when we beat them at Goodison, and we beat them 2-1 when Lukaku scored and he was offside, and then Osman scored. Remember? Obviously, we had the penalty shootout with them the last time we played them, but it was it was great to see us respond. I mean, in the first half, Lukaku had a couple of chances, didn't he? Osman poked an effort wide. But Stuart Downing's goal, that was it. It was a poor goal to concede defensively.
It was. It was just a lack of pressure on the ball, wasn't it? And, you know, Downing's got a great left foot on him, and he's had an half-decent season. But, you know, that goal was well preventable, wasn't it? You know, from a defensive point of view, it shouldn't have gone in. But like you say, again, you know, with us looking to sort of win the game, we go a goal behind. And that's, you know... We have got a lot of things right defensively of late. I mean, you know, Stones and Jagielka together have been key to that, but we've just been prone to conceding these types of goals all season, which hasn't helped us.
No, and he obviously gave them the lead. We thought maybe our heads would go down. As you said, it was sort of like a bit of a friendly game, a friendly feel to it up until then. But it sparked Everton into life. Lukaku was out wide, and I know it does our heads in when he goes out wide, but he'd done his step-overs and provided Osman. But Mark, that was some goal that from Leon Osman.
It was a fantastic goal, mate. To be honest, very few players, you know, could do that goal. I know Allardyce was drooling over it, saying, you know, that Barcelona would have scored that goal, or I think someone was saying... everyone would have been. It was a great goal. It was a classic sort of Leon Osman goal, wasn't it? You know, one touch, turn, bang in the back of the net. It was, and you know, we always tend to score in front of the away fans, doesn't it? Which makes it 10 times better. You know, I think we only ever we just do limbs, don't we, at Upton Park?
Yeah, fans, don't we? It's just made, Osman's isn't it?
Was good enough to win the game, you know, but it got us back into it, didn't it?
Defo. I mean, Leon. He's done that over the years for Everton, hasn't he? He's chipped in with the goal, but I agree, it was an Osman type goal. He arriving in the box, but his control for that and the way the ball was sort of behind him when he hooked it in, obviously celebrated in front of our fans, and our fans always celebrate like it's a league winning goal, don't they? But
well, yeah, Mark, to be honest, it wasn't similar, but it put me in mind of when he scored that sort of 99th minute winner against Portsmouth all them years ago at the Gladys Street. You know, it was like that type of goal, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know,
where that sort of feel to it.
When the ball came in, and then he sort of turned it into nothing, and then it's in the back of the net. You
know? Yeah. I thought we didn't stop after that, though. Robbie McGeady and Morales came on shortly after we drew level. But I thought we deserved credit for going for it, because all the chances seemed to go to Everton in the final 15, 20 minutes. And obviously, Rom had an effort saved, didn't he, by Adrian.
That one-handed, yeah, I think, wasn't it? That was sort of a couple of minutes from time, I think, that one.
He had the free kick as well, don't forget. Remember the free kick? And everyone thought it was in. It was that close.
You're right, it looked in for all the world and just sailed past the post, didn't it?
But he kept going. It was that man McGeady who's been... Him and Christian Atu have been on tour somewhere or something, and he comes back off the bench and sets up the winner. I thought McGeady looked bright when he came on.
Yeah, he multitasked a little bit, Mark. He created a Twitter meltdown and sort of set up the goal at the same time. You know, it was good. No, yeah, it was just classic wing play, wasn't it? You know, the goal. I mean, you know, if we'd seen that all season off McGeady, no one would have been on his back, would we? You know, but... It's just sort of, I think since the West Ham away game, actually, was it in the cup that people have sort of, you know, turned on him totally, yeah, if we're being honest. But, you know, great way to play. That's what he's in the team for at the end of the day.
He's been injured as well, hasn't he? Like, he's been in and out the side. But I completely agree, because what you want from your wingers, even if it's just, you know, I'm not saying he's just got to take on the world and put balls over, but a couple of shimmies like he did, and I think into the area, you've got someone like Lukaku, and, you know, he might not be the best in the air, but he's so physical, and he got right in the position, didn't he?
He did, and that's what we need to realise about Lukaku. People want him to be, you know, this complete striker at 21. You know, the lad has shown, I think he's shown this season, he's a goal scorer, isn't he, right? You know, the other aspects of his game, the hold-up play and linking, is kind of there, although he doesn't always display it, but that will, I think, will get better. But what we do have is a goal scorer, you know, and how often do we get a player who scores 20 goals for a start? You know, it can't go unnoticed, can it? I mean, you know, he's been valuable for us this season, hasn't he? Without his goals, where would we have been?
Defo. Well, we'll draw on Lukaku in a minute as well, because obviously he's got some impressive stats after that West Ham game. But that was it. So obviously we got the 3 points. It took us back into the top half of the table. We got there the other week, didn't we? And then we just slipped away. But now we're back up there with one game to go. So hopefully, it makes for better reading though, doesn't it? Seeing you in the top half. We've got four bookings as well on Saturday, Mark. And now I know that dampened your hopes of European through the Fair Play League, but West Ham were also in with a shout with it as well, but it looks unlikely now. Are you disappointed, or would you want European football at all costs?
Well, to be honest with you, that's the argument's like twofold. I do want European football at all costs. I think Everton and its fans deserve to be in. No, we don't deserve on the back of results, but our fans certainly do, mate, to be honest. I think we've got the best fans in Europe, I really do. Particularly away from home. So from that point of view, we deserve to be sort of, you know, going on European jollies and all that.
Experiencing it, yeah.
From a football point of view, we've got to have earned it. And, you know, to get into Europe, because, you know, we picked up the least amount of bookings and sendings off, I think it's a bit of a farce, to be honest with you. I would sooner, you know, we've lost 14 league games all season. We don't deserve to qualify for Europe, do we, you know, but...
Not really.
At the same time, I'd give anything to be in Europe again, yeah.
Fair play. Well, that's looking unlikely now, because I don't know.
I think West Ham will have to get about four players sent off.
I think, it's going to come down to something like that, Mark. But anyway, you just briefly mentioned Lukaku there. I wanted to speak to you about him in a bit more depth. 20 goals in a season, first striker since Yakubu to do that. 6-6 against West Ham since he signed for Everton. They must absolutely hate the bones of him. He's also got nine assists for this season, Mark. And to be honest, he's come in for criticism, Lukaku. And as you said, he's still a young lad. But there's some great statistics then for a side who've underperformed for long periods.
Totally agree. I think that highlights just how good this lad can be when he gets it right. You know, we haven't played well as a team consistently all season. And yet he shipped in with 20 goals, albeit in all competitions, I know that. But 9 assists in a, you know, shows that the lad can link up. He can create chances for his teammates. You know, he does seem, he is pacey, he can finish. It's just, you know...
But he scored with his head on Saturday as well, Mark, and that's something we don't really give him credit for, but he scored a few heads this season.
Just ignored the hold-up play part and just admired what he can do in front of goal, because he hits the target 9 times out of 10. For me, you know, we have got a great player up front, and it's right, you know, these statistics show, even though people haven't been, you know, he hasn't been that great, let's be honest, the statistics are still, I think, a lot of strikers would give the left arm for, really, wouldn't they? You know?
Definitely, and I think back to the Young Boys trip, when he scored, was it the perfect hat-trick, the header, the left foot, the right foot? I mean, I know it was Young Boys, but he was unplayable that night, and I thought... If we could really get the best out of him in the future years, he could be one hell of a player, couldn't he? He has. I think he deserves credit for dragging us out the mire. I was going to swear then, but I won't swear for once. Drag us out the mire at times this season. We've counted on him, as you said, Mark. Though, where would we be without his goals? You know what I mean?
I agree. To be honest, at that time when. You know, the arse had fallen out of it at Christmas time. Lukaku was one of the few players who seemed to be busting a butt to change things, didn't he? You know, you look back to the sort of West Ham FA Cup match and games around that period. Lukaku was the only, was one of the few players he'd stood up at that time, wasn't he? You know, it shows the character of the lad. He's not always going to have the perfect game, and to be honest, his demeanour doesn't help sometimes. But, you know, we cannot argue with Lukaku. We signed him, you know, 28 million, 9 million down payment, maybe not quite the 28 that everyone makes out. But, you know, I think he's been well worth it, hasn't he? You know, this season, we've needed his goals, and generally he scored them when we've needed them.
I think we always find a something to moan about as Evertonians, don't we? And there's a fella who sits in front of me who just, even if he scored an hat-trick at Goodison, he'd still call him a lazy so-and-so. And it's unjust. Yeah. It's unjustified if you think. I've said this about Ross Barkley in the past and John Stones. I know they paid enough money to carry the weight of expectation, but the young lads playing in a poor side, and you know, sometimes the pressure is huge, and not all the times this season our experienced players have shone through. So we've had to rely on a few of the kids. You know, I remember Mo Bezic coming into the side at one point and impressing. You know, Brendan Galloway was the latest one. On Saturday down at Upton Park, John Stones is probably the biggest example this season of a young player coming through and emerging. And he, you know, he's made mistakes, John Stones, hasn't he? It's been difficult, and I think a lot of the criticism for Lukaku is unjustified. And I was glad to see him get his 20 goals, and you know, hopefully he's got a couple more in his locker for Sunday as well.
Yeah, it seems the type of game where I think he'll do. You know, he'll score a few on Sunday. You know, he's had a good season. I think he'll want to round off on a positive. Lukaku, certainly Tottenham don't seem to be doing much at the moment, do they? You know, so it's all there for him. But like you say, you know, yeah, it's just we need to realise what a good player he is, and don't get so hung up on his shortcomings, because they're not that much, to be honest. Yeah.
And he is up front on his own, we have to remember. Well, anyway, Mark, just on the youngsters, we mentioned Brendan Galloway. What was your thoughts on him? Surprise inclusion, wasn't it, really?
Very much so. It was great to see Galloway get a start. They obviously think very highly of him, and we've got to be all about promoting youth at our club. But it was a bit concerning with Garbutt missing out again, and I fear for his long term future at Goodison Park now. But to be honest, to focus on Galloway, very assured, wasn't he? Didn't look out of depth, slotted in nicely.
Looked
spectacular, a bit like that Loftus-Cheek for Chelsea, but done the job he was put on the pitch today. I thought he'd done really well.
Definitely, and I mean, he was advancing and late on in the second half when we were going for the winner as well and putting a ball over. I know McGeady then fluffed his lines and Lukaku's effort went. But it was good to see another young lad. I mean, maybe we haven't seen as many of them as we'd hoped at times, and you know, the likes of Alcaraz getting games and stuff. But I think Roberto's going to be, he's going to manage them how he, the same with Bezic, he's gone out of the side now. I think he's managing them how he wants, and that's fair enough. He's the manager of the football club, and I hope he knows best. But yeah, I agree about Garbutt. I mean, there's talk now, some of the rags have got hold of the Garbutt to Liverpool story. Yeah. But we've talked about that like 6 months ago. It won't go away, that particular speculation. No, but
it does seem to be ominous, doesn't it?
No, a couple of lads said to me today, Mark, if Garbutt was staying, he's in that side against West Ham. You know what I mean? Because Baines is out, isn't he?
And Garbutt is the natural left back choice, isn't he? You know, to come in.
And like Roberto was saying, well, you know, Baines is out, but Garbutt's an adequate replacement, and he wants to end the season strongly. Well, he didn't get a game, and I think that.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The decision's been made and Luke Garbutt will leave Everton in the next few months.
It seemed to be, as much as it was great to see Galloway, it did seem to be a writing on the wall for Garbutt. Just a quick word on Garbutt. I think we're going to regret this hugely, Mark, to be honest, letting him go. All right, fair enough if he wants to go, but I don't think we've helped ourselves by not picking him when times have been right. West Ham are up. I keep saying West Ham, but I feel like they're the only team we played this season. But when Herbert played a left back in that game,
yeah.
I think that was a time when I thought that was a great time for Garbutt to come in. And a lot of people say, what's the fuss, he's never played. But it's, so anyone who's watched the kid, he has got it all. He's got pace. He's got good defensive, you know, qualities. And he's got a hell of a ball in on him, Mark. Pure Hinchcliffe-esque. You know, when you see him, I think we're going to regret this one when he goes. I really do.
I'd love to see him stay. I'd love to see him push Baines, but I just can't see it. And if you've got other lads there, the likes of Galloway, who's younger, and maybe he's going to be a bit more patient. Obviously, we got him from MK Dons the other year, didn't we? Whereas Garbutt's a local lad, he's come through at Everton, and maybe he's just thinking here. I'm not waiting till I'm 26 or something to get in the team. You know what I mean? Maybe he's just being a bit. But I don't know. The Baines, you'd like to. I mean, Baines has got an injury, and I think he's needed ankle surgery for some time. But Baines could play on for another 5 or 6 years. You know what I mean? Would you blame the lad for going or what?
You can't blame him for going because he's not getting a look in, is he? It's not like he's come in for 20 games, done great, and then done a Jeffers and then decided he's better than what's going on. You know, you can't blame the lad at all. He hasn't had a chance, and it just beggars belief what's going on with Garbutt, because, you know, if you know your football, then the kid's obviously got great talent. You know, he's, you know, like I said before, he's got it all. And to me, he's a much better alternative than Oviedo left back. And I know Oviedo's been made of glass this season, hasn't he? You know, which is another reason we should be fighting tooth and nail to keep Garbutt. But for me, Garbutt was the better option anyway. And I'm not slagging Oviedo up. I'm just saying, you know, we want a competitive squad. And for me, Garbutt and Baines would be, you know. But I think we haven't helped ourselves with Garbutt at all this season. I don't blame him at all for walking, to be honest.
I think it's going to be interesting how it develops. But I said on Twitter before, I can't see anything but Luke Garbutt leaving. And it is a shame, really. I mean, Oviedo today is now being linked with Real Sociedad and a reunion with Davy Moyes. So you're like, I don't know, Oviedo's obviously injured. He's done his metatarsal and he's had a lot of bad luck, but he did have that spell in the side where he was brilliant, wasn't he? You know, in Roberto's first season when Baines was out of the side. But are you ever going to get that consistency from him? He's more like a utility man, isn't he?
He is. I don't think you're going to get a settled run in the team either from him as well, Mark, because like you say, he has become injury prone, sadly. I think it goes back to the Scunthorpe injury, doesn't it, where he had that horrendous tackle on him. He just hasn't been right ever since then, to be honest with you. But like you say, when Oviedo came in, when Baines was injured at the start of last season, it was like for like. His, you know, we didn't suffer at all, did we, with his quality of left back, and he got that great winner at Old Trafford, which I think, to be honest, he's dined on a little bit for too much now. You know, there's not been too much apart from that as there of Oviedo, but like you say, injuries haven't helped. Like, this is where we need to be a bit more ruthless, I think, because we can't keep players on who we can't use back. So going back to like Gibson and the likes of Oviedo, you know, we need people to be fit regularly to be competing for, you know, put pressure on first team squad, because, you know, while you've got one person in one position, it doesn't go well, does it, to improve the team, you know, if they've got no competition.
Well, this is why he's talking up Howard, Hibbert, Aidan McGeady. Yeah, fair enough, Aidan McGeady, because he's recently come to the club. But for me, your Alcarazes, your Distans, your Tony Ibbots, your Darren Gibsons, your Brian Oviedos, to me, they're not the. I know it might sound harsh because I love the likes of Darren Gibson and, you know, Hibbert being a great servant, just as Sylvain Distan has. But in reality, if you want a better Everton and you want a future of Everton, you need to be refreshing and getting rid of the bit of the dead wood. And, you know, you could even say Leon Osman to a lesser extent. I mean, that's probably more harsh because I think he's still got an important part to play and Roberto values him. But, again, it's just the mentality of make and do, isn't it, with what we've got. And, or we'll add a couple of loan signings and keep the fans quiet, you know what I mean? But it doesn't wash with Evertonians.
It's just, you know, like, you know, this summer, as we all know, there's a lot of unrest back and, you know, I think more than ever, good son, we need a bit of dynamic, but in a different word, but we need like a massive swill of water to the face, don't we? Like I've said a few times, we just, the whole squad looking like a stale piece of bread on the shelf. We need, you know, we need to look fresher, don't we? We need to look sort of like a Julia Roberts makeover in Pretty Woman, maybe. That's what we need, but I don't think we're going to get it. Like you say, even the likes of PNR and stuff, you know, we need players hungry and want, I'm not saying PNR isn't hungry, but we need players who are fit and ready to compete for the first team place. And when half the players are sitting on the treatment table all the time, you know, we do need that competitive edge, don't we, at Goodison, to put the best on the, you know, people in the first team need to be under pressure that, you know, if they don't perform, they'll be out the side. And that's something we've lacked, hasn't it, because of the injuries.
Definitely. And you look at the likes of Jagielka, Tim Howard, Leighton Baines, PNR, you've just mentioned, these players, they're not getting any younger. Gareth Barry, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do we do? Do we wait for these to then get in the twilight of the years and start picking up more injuries? And then we're like, oh, but he's still got a part to play. You know, we're going to give him a 2-year deal. It's just like, where do you draw the line and say, right, well, we are investing in the squad in certain areas. Lukaku, Bezic, John Stones, you know what I mean? Galloway getting a game. James McCarthy's still relatively young, but
it's a crack in the spine there, Mark. But the around it, it's just, you know, the same old faces, you know. And that's, I've seen a lot of people tweet that you know, you go to Goodison, it's like Groundhog Day. It's just the same old thing, the same old players. We just need an injection, don't we? Of you know, whether that be, you know, Barcelona fancy helping us out again with a few Delafos and stuff like that. I don't know. We just need to have a fresher look about us more than ever.
Definitely, because there's been some things like the Christian Atsu deal that hasn't worked out. We need to sort of look, go away and look, dust ourselves down and look as a whole, a club as a whole, what we're going to do next season. Are we going to find ourselves in a similar position, make do with what we've got, or are we going to actually go and make another statement? Because we did make a statement with the Lukaku deal. I think, you know, we all thought that was a real statement of intent, but unfortunately hasn't really worked out this season. But talking of players and acquisitions and people on loan, Mark, Aaron Lennon, obviously he's ineligible for Sunday, isn't he, as we know. Played his last game on Saturday, had a decent game. I'll just read out his tweet, Mark. Very nice what he had to say. He said, "So happy to finish my loan on a win today. I've loved every minute since I got here. I'm gutted it's over so soon. Also, a special thank you for the great support for me since I got here from the fans. It's a special club." You know, nice words from him. And I think, what's your thoughts on him, Mark? It's time here.
I love him, to be honest, Mark. I think it's a real shame he can't sort of play on Tottenham. We're playing on Sunday, because I think he deserved a little bit, you know, to play his last game at Goodison. And he has made a positive impact, hasn't he, since he signed. His, you know, the way he's gone about, the way his mentality's impressed me. You know, the club's sort of been drifting, but he's looked determined and focused, hasn't he? You know, it stood out for me, his attitude, really, when he's been in the team. He's first class at Stratford back. And to be honest, Mark, I think, you know, people are talking, dreaming, if you like, about Delafoe coming back. And that'd be fun, you know, for me, that would be the one signing that would get the ball rolling in the summer. But I think Lennon, I would love to see Aaron Lennon back as well, mate, to be honest. He's been great. You can't fault him at all, what he's done.
That's it. I see people talking about Morales potentially going, you know, and Lennon coming in and stuff. But really, again, mentality. I'm not Morales' biggest fan, but why aren't we looking to keep him, add Delafoe, and sign Lennon? You know what I mean? Exactly. Imagine it. I know.
This is what the top teams have, don't they? They have quality. Why do we have to keep Robin Peter to pay Paul? Why can't we have both?
Even players in similar positions that I've just mentioned, three of them. But the way Everton work and the way Roberto works, he'll find positions in the team for them. We've seen them, how they've all played in different positions and they've played the different parts over the past 18 months, 2 years. But Aaron Lennon, Mark, I completely agree. The irony, when he signed, he was getting ripped, weren't he, for his having a miserable face. But since then, he's had a smile on his face, enjoying his football, a real spring in his step. And he's chipped in with a couple of goals and a couple of assists. And I think he's been a real credit since he arrived.
I honestly think if you were going to draw up five players, Mark, that stood out this season, Aaron Lennon would be one of them, wouldn't he? You know, and he's only joined us since January. He's right up there with the sort of the best that we've had this season. I know that sounds a bit far-fetched. Lukaku, Stones and McCarthy obviously stand out. But, you know, there's not many players who are jumping out more than Aaron Lennon. I think we really ought to be trying to get him back in the summer.
Well, I hear what you said last time I spoke to you, Mark. You said if he would have been here longer, he would have definitely got player of the season. You know what I mean? He came in January, so you could arguably say, but it was deadline day when we signed him, so really he hasn't been here for the full second half of the season. But I think if he would have carried on for a few more months, then he would have been in with a shout, because his contribution has been brilliant. And what he says there on Twitter, kind words from him, really. He described it as a special club. You don't know, do you? He could be back in North London now, laughing his head off, thinking, I'm not going back up there with them Scousers. But you don't know, do you? Obviously, he can't play Sunday. It's a shame, because it's his parent club, and it would have been nice to give him a nice round of applause at Goodison. But definitely.
Let's just hope he's back for the first game of the season. I honestly think we should be trying. You know, he obviously thinks well of the club, and he's got a terrific attitude. And if he's enjoying his football here, then there's every chance he'll come back, isn't there? If we can get it right off the pitch, which is easier said than done.
Definitely. I mean, there's been some figures banded around, but who knows? Who knows what they'll ask? Who knows who'll be interested in? I'm assuming Everton wouldn't be the only side interested if they were to be interested, but I think they'd be stupid not to go in for them.
Totally agree. But you'd think if there were other clubs interested and we were as well, then we would have the upper hand, given that he's just played his last four or five months of football here, isn't it? You know, so you'd think we'd be in pole position for that one.
One off the Spurs game anyway, Mark. The last time we played them, we got beat 2-1. You mentioned that man, Soldado. Again, another striker who hasn't scored for 10 years or something, but he scores against Everton. I remember White Hart Lane earlier in the season. Morales scored that screamer, didn't he, before we just capitulated?
He absolutely willed you in the top corner, wasn't it? He cut in, I think it was from a throw-in, wasn't it? He took it in the top corner. And I was before Tim Howard, indulged himself into his hobby of parrying the ball out into the six-yard box, made in a few receding hairlines left, right and centre in that away. That was a game again that we should have got, you know, we should maybe got all 3 points in, but, like, you know, we just weren't defensively sound, were we? I do fancy us for Sunday, Mark. I think the Everton will want to put on a show, given the season that we've had, and sort of, they'll be thinking about that lap of honour at the end, won't they? So they'll maybe want to put on a show to sort of ease any frustrations that there might be.
So it's etched on our memories for the final game and for the summer, I hope so. I mean, they tend to always be decent games against Spurs. They've got some really good players, haven't they? Just a quick word on Harry Kane, the likes of him, Christian Eriksen, Ryan Mason. I know you've been impressed with the goalie as well.
Yeah, not half. I'm thinking Peter Cech, Lloris. How ridiculous is that, Mark? Lloris has been, I don't want to go on about Tim Howard, but if Hugo Lloris is in our goal this season, I think we're finishing in the top six, aren't we, seven? You know, with the sort of, you need a goalkeeper like that. He's got, you know, he is world class, isn't he, Lloris? The way he's kept Tottenham in a lot of games, saved them from defeat and what have you. That's the type of goalie that we need, frankly, that we should be looking at in the summer. I know it costs an awful lot of money, but that is an area where really you can't compromise on price, can you? You know, you get what you pay for, really, when it comes to a goalie.
Definitely, I think.
Harry Kane, he's sort of gone off the boil a little bit, hasn't he, the last few weeks, but, what a season he's had, 30 goals, Brilliant, fantastic. And to be honest, I don't like the kid. He's far too arrogant for me. And I know that's a good thing in players, but I think, he's definitely someone I wouldn't go with a pint with, but probably someone I wouldn't mind seeing playing up front for Everton.
No offence to anyone listening who's from down south, but he does look like a typical southerner.
He does. He enjoys paying £11.50 a pint, by the looks of it.
But he's been first class, and obviously England strikers who score 30 goals in a season don't come along often. So I think for the national side, although I'm not that bothered about England, people will be getting excited about his performances. But I mean, whether or not he stays at Spurs is another scenario, isn't it? He's been linked with United, hasn't he?
Yeah, this is the thing, that even the likes of Tottenham and Seyfarty from like the Vultures, they have, you know, a player who has one, well, he's had one good season, hasn't he, really? And like you say, the best clubs in the land are already looking at them, you know. It's also one that, I think Ericsson is another one for me. You said before, Mark, he's a terrific player, Ericsson. I love, great technician, someone who would, you know, if we had a player like that, a good or something, it would make an instant difference to the team, wouldn't he? You know, the way we played and what have you. You know, he's a great player. But like you say, this, you know, I don't want to go into too much here, but this is what happens when you sort of spend big and you bring quality in. I know Tottenham haven't always brought quality in, but Ericsson certainly, you know, was a club signing.
He was one of the cheapest signings they made, I'm sure. He only cost about 8 million. So the irony of that, and another, I think Lloris was about 17 million, Hugo Lloris, but he's more than proved his worth, Lloris. Others like Lamela and Soldado, obviously, they've been flops, really, haven't they?
Yeah, but Chadley's come good for them as well this season, hasn't he? He's looking a player at last.
But two of the mainstays, Ryan Mason and Harry Kane, you know, British talent, so fair play to them. But obviously, we won't talk about Spurs much more than that. We're both up for the game. Unfortunately, Lennon can't play, but it would be a packed house at Goodison, and let's hope they finish on a high, because there's been a lot of times since we started doing these podcasts, Mark, where it's been quite grim, hasn't it? So, I mean, at the moment, the past, say, month, it's been up and down. We've had a defeat, then a victory, or vice versa. So we're trying to cover two games, so there's always been a high and a low. I don't think we have. No, I think we'd end up bloody talking for about 6 hours on here with a crate, wouldn't we? But anyway, right. There's a couple of other things, Mark, before we close. What about Sylvain Distan?
Yeah, to be honest, all things considered, and I think we have to look back at his career at Everton, not just sort of what's gone on this season. I think, you know, he deserves a little bit of a send off on Sunday, Mark, for me. 200 plus appearances. You know, when we signed him, like I said to you before, I think he was like a poor man's Lescott, really, when we signed him. But he's been a good player for us, by and large, hasn't he? You know, he's been, you know, part of a good defence of seasons gone by. I just think he deserves a little bit of a send-off. I don't think, you know, packing him away in his milk truck is going to do any good. Just, you know, best give him, let him. I think he deserves a send-off, whether that be coming on a sub or whether that be playing, you know, for an hour, I don't know. A little bit of a send-off.
I think he'll come on as substitute, and I think he should. I know he may have disrespected his manager or whatever, but he's been at Everton for 5 or 6 years. As you said, over 200 appearances. And don't get me wrong, there's people who've slated him from the start, but there's been times when he was really consistent at the heart of the defence alongside Jagielka. Yeah. He was always a bit susceptible to a mad mistake, but what centre-half isn't, you know what I mean? John Stones has done it, hasn't he?
I totally agree, yeah. The centre-halves, you know, will always, because, you know, when they make a mistake, it gets highlighted 10 times more than anywhere else on the pitch, doesn't it? So, you know, but like you say, you know, we've got to recognise sort of, you know, his contribution to the club, and he's played in some good sides, and we've done okay. So I think he deserves a send-off, definitely. You know, we're a classy club, and we tend to do these things very well, and, you know, if he's going to play his last game, I think he deserves a little bit off the, you know, a little bit more banter with the crowd, shall we say.
Well, he's been linked with a couple of the sides already in the Premier League, and I think he'll carry on playing. I think he's more than capable of carrying on playing. He might not have the pace that he once had, but in terms of his physique, he was always being a real athlete. And I think it's a shame sort of how it's ended with him, but I would like to see a bit of respect paid to him.
Absolutely.
Whether or not that happens awaits to be seen. So yeah, a couple of other final things, Mark. You were invited to the Echo meeting next week. Just a quick word on that. Are you hoping to get something out of that without going into major detail?
I think firstly it shows that, you know, if you're banging up drums, then people do listen, regardless of how pointless it may look. But secondly, Matt, I think this is really important, this meeting. We have to change, for me, we have to change the sort of fundamental way the Echo look at Everton and treat sort of you know, what's going on at the club and the way they approach it. This, I'm looking for I really want a good discussion on this. Obviously, ranting isn't going to get far, but I really want the Echo to see our side of it and to see why there's so much frustration out there. They do get a lot of stick. For me, a lot of it is justified. I just hope that, you know, if we can get them to change the way they think about Everton and the way they report stuff and really, you know, hold people at the club accountable when they need to be held accountable. That's, you know, like, it's really good that they've organised a meeting. They've obviously acknowledged the discontent, haven't they? So, you know, obviously you're not expecting miracles and them to turn on the board overnight. But, you know, this is a step in the right direction, certainly.
I think the press, you look at them as sort of the middleman between the fan and the club, maybe sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of information purposes and bits like that. But without going on about it majorly, I think we need to see what happens in the meeting first and then come back and talk about it. If we're allowed to. but my dad's 60, and he said it's not a new thing. I've never bought the Echo for those reasons, and he's a 60-year-old man, you know what I mean? I'm half his age, and the past few years I've become more and more disgruntled with it. But anyway, let's not end on a negative, all right? That's just one thing that's coming up next week. We've also got the end-of-season walk-in centre. That's what we're going to call it, isn't it, Mark?
It is, mate. It's a sort of a massive psychiatrist couch for anyone who wants to air their views on our Everton season. Chance to sort of get some, you know, get you, relieve your stress. Come along, definitely, absolutely.
Well, that's it. I mean, we wanted to assess the end of season, and me and you will do that as well. But we know we've been speaking to Evertonians on Twitter today and saying in a couple of weeks we'll get something organised and get fans down there, because ultimately we want to hear their views for this podcast as well. But it just tying it in with the end of season, we could be in for a lock-in.
It could be. I think it's really, like you say, Mark, it's exciting for us. We want to get the fans involved and we want them to have their say on how they feel about the club and what, because I do think we have reached a crossroads, haven't we, as a club, and stuff like this, you know, it's brilliant to get, you know, a range of opinions. They might all be the same, we don't know, but, you know, on what's happening with the club, I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, we'll get, you know, the ball's rolling with it, and there's men, women and some younger people who are going to come along, some older people, so I'm all for it. That's the purpose why we started this. So yeah, we'll definitely get that arranged, and then we'll come back after the Spurs game. Let's hope we can end the season on a high with another 3 points, finishing the top 10. And before I forget, because I always forget this bit, don't I, Mark? You can.
You need some more practice.
I know. Follow us on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/EvertonFanFocus. The podcast immediately go on iTunes as well. If people want to prefer to listen to iTunes, you can download it and listen to it on the go. And also, the podcast can now be found on evertonaren'twe.com. We struck up a bit of a relationship with the guys that run that site as well. So check that out, and we'll speak to you again soon. See you later, Mark.
See you, Mark. Thanks, mate.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.